I suppose that I came to history with a point of view. I came to the teaching and writing of history with a point of view already, because I didn't go directly from high school to college to graduate school to teaching, because I had a number of years between high school and college. At the age of 18, I went to work in a shipyard and worked there for 3 years. I didn't do it as a sociological experiment. Go around with a tape recorder and talk to my fellow shipyard workers. How does it feel to work in a shipyard? But I came from the kind of background, the kind of family that where the kids didn't go to college, where at the age of 18 you went to work so you could bring some money home, even if it was very little money home to the family. So I worked in a shipyard for 3 years, and I think it's fair to say that I have a chapter in my this memoir that was referred to, which is called "You Can't Be Neutral on a Moving Train." I have a chapter in it called "Growing Up Class Conscious," and I suppose I grew up class conscious. That is, I grew up aware that most people in society worked on the kind of job I worked on. That is, not in a shipyard, maybe. It didn't matter what they worked at, but they worked at a job that they weren't crazy about, but that they had to work at. And they might be blue-collar workers, and they might be white-collar workers, or they might be steel workers, or they might be advertising copywriters, but they still were mostly working at jobs which alienated them from the process of work and alienated them from the product of their work. And so I was aware that this kind of work existed, and I was aware that there seemed to be some people in society who didn't do that kind of work. And I very early on became aware that there was no particular relationship between how hard you worked and what were the rewards that you got as a result of this work. I never believed and I don't know when this started, but very young, I was no longer susceptible to that which you hear a lot around you, and which I remember some of my students at Boston University would express, and something that is a recurring theme in American society, and that is, if you work hard enough, you will, as they say, make it. You will become prosperous and successful if you work hard. If you haven't become prosperous and successful, it must mean you haven't worked very hard. And I saw my father work very hard all his life and have very little to show for it. So my mother worked very hard. And lots of people like them. And then I saw people in society who were successful and who were prosperous, and I couldn't figure out what they did. Either they didn't seem to be working very hard, were they working very hard at producing terrible things? And they were very well paid for it. So yes, I was class conscious at an early age. The word class conscious doesn't appear a lot in American society. There's an attempt to, it's sort of an embarrassing word. Our society is not supposed to be that way. Brazil, yes. Ecuador, who knows? Saudi Arabia, there are societies with rich elites and poor masses, but not America. And you hear politicians accusing one another of appealing to class prejudices. And politicians are very careful not to be accused of that. I remember during the 1988 election campaign, do you remember Bush and Dukakis? It's hard to remember that, something like, but it will be on the next New York Times quiz. But at one point, Bush accused Dukakis of arousing class hostility. Which really surprised me. I live in Massachusetts. Dukakis was the governor of Massachusetts. And the idea that Dukakis would appeal to class hostility somehow didn't ring true to me. That he would provoke class conflict? No. That he would provoke anything? But this avoidance of class is very interesting.